Hello. Hi. So I'm Yaeli, as Jeremy just said. I am a senior designer at Microsoft, actually Microsoft Developer Services. I work on the design system of Azure DevOps, which in simple terms is a powerful tool that includes a few different services that let you develop and collaborate, develop your product and collaborate with your teams. Our team is distributed across several time zones, with some people co-located working together in a few offices, and some people work remotely from home like I do. I grew up in Portugal and Panama, and I have lived in London for almost 11 years now with my husband and my son, who will be here later today. And even though I am a cat person, now I have a five-month-old puppy, which is the biggest puppy in the world. He's twice as big as that now. And it's almost like having another baby, really. If you do have any puppy tips, please come talk to me at some point, because I appreciate any help that I can get on that. So I have worked on design systems for a bunch of different companies and different teams. I worked also agency side for about a year right before I joined Microsoft, also focusing on design systems with the teams that I was leading. And before my previous job, I was working at Canonical, which is the company behind the Ubuntu operating system. I was leading the design system there, and I was there for about 7 years, most of them again focusing on, before we said, design systems, on the style guides and CSS framework and then design system. So this is all to say that I've had the privilege of watching teams make... Why am I holding this? I did a meetup on Tuesday, and I had like a cough fit, so now I'm a bit like, I need my water. Anyway, so I've had the privilege of watching teams make a lot of mistakes when it comes to design systems. And obviously I've made a lot of mistakes myself. And I've also misrepresented the work that I've done about the design systems that I've worked on. And I don't think I'm the only one. So when people talk about their design systems, you usually look at a beautiful site where all the components are really nicely laid out. You just are in marvel at how well-documented everything is, and everything looks just beautiful. And then people go and speak at conferences, and they write blog posts and Medium posts, and they go to podcasts, and they talk about all the problems that they faced and how they solved everything. And then you look at the site that they're showing you, and that's proof of how they figured their stuff out. And then you look at your own design system and the problems that you're facing and the mess that it is, and you think that you're never going to get to that same point. You're never going to get there. But what you see on those beautiful sites is a facade. Beautiful design systems are for teams, the same as Instagram is for life. They are a tiny, tiny little vignette of something much bigger and much messier and complicated. In reality, things are unfinished and ugly and disorganized, and there's tape and gum holding things in place. It's a facade, and we're actually still building the rest behind it and hoping that no one will notice. So I promise that there's going to be useful advice on this talk, I hope. But most of all, what I want you to take away is that you're not alone in having an imperfect system with broken processes that people don't follow, incomplete documentation, people that are trying to create custom components left and right, or just simply avoiding or ignoring the system altogether, and maybe even pretending that it's not there. I've seen that. No one has everything figured out. No one. Not even Google, not Shopify, not Salesforce, not IBM, not GDS, not Microsoft. We're all lying. And I've picked my favorite, not to say the word lie, I've picked my favorite untruths to discuss with you today. So let me have. So untruth number one is that everyone loves and understands our work. And the reality is that some people hate us and many don't know what we're trying to do. So this has happened to me more than once, assuming that everyone understands what it means to have a design system and how a design system can help our work. We are so embedded in this design system world. We know why it's useful. We know the benefits that it brings and that most companies would be silly to not invest in having one. And if we suspect that maybe people that we're working with or that we're building the system for, maybe they have never worked with a system before and they don't know what it means, then we ask them, have you heard of material design from Google? And they say, yes, that's it. That's what we're doing. And saying that it's not good enough. Most of the world doesn't have the same passion about design systems that we have, and they shouldn't have. They have a lot of other things to worry about. But sadly, I've made this mistake more than once, to think that by explaining it like that or by explaining it to one key stakeholder or to just my boss or to a couple of people that are not in the team, that everyone now was going to stand behind us in our effort, and they were just going to be delighted when the first version was released. And that doesn't work. One thing that works is to sell the system over and over again, adapting the message to the different needs of the different people and the different teams, explaining the vision of where you're trying to get to and how they can help you and of how things may look later on and also how their day-to-day may change and what's going to get easier with the system. And sadly, at least for me, it involves usually doing a bunch of presentations and slide decks and lots and lots of presentations. And once you present it once, if you did your job right, people are going to feel excited and they want to help you. And then the next week, they forget about it. When things actually have to change, when they have to slow down, when they have to wait for things, they are going to forget about how excited they were at that presentation. So you'll just do it again, and you'll answer the new questions and address the new concerns. And this takes time, and it involves repetition and improving the message of what you want to achieve. You want people to go from, why are we wasting our time on this, to when can I have it and what can I do to help? And obviously then you need to follow through. Because if you don't, and if you just make empty promises and you don't do what you said you were going to do, then everyone is going to hate you. So, untruth number two. Our documentation is always up to date. Obviously, the truth is that we don't always have time to document things. So when I look at my team's design system site, it looks great. We've got beautiful custom illustrations, clean design, clean type, nice grid. When you go into the components section, there's these beautiful icons made by our icon designer. It's very cool. And the site itself was built very quickly. We have a really good engineering team. It has cool features. You can switch between light and dark themes, and there's links to the Figma files, and there's link to open GitHub issues. And it even has this really useful component status table that says when things are going to be released and what's coming and what's done. But the truth is, I know that there's a lot of stuff that exists in production, in use, and is not on the site. And another truth, I don't even know what those things are. I don't think I've even seen them. They probably only exist in a storybook that I honestly haven't had the time to set up yet. Now, let's be honest. I'm telling you all these things. I'm revealing my secrets. And I would just like to know, at least in this particular thing, is there anyone here that knows that there are missing things from their documentation? Can you raise your hand if you know? Okay, so you can see we're all we're all in this together. Cool. So last year I was at a design systems meetup in San Francisco. It was at the Slack office. And both Mina Markham and Garrett Miller, so both engineers, they did two different talks, and they used the same GIF to describe what it's like to work on a design system. So they did not previously agree to this. It was just pure coincidence that they both used the same image. But I think it was a coincidence because it really does feel like it. It feels like this every single day. So the train never reaches its destination. It only stops very briefly sometimes, not enough. What this means is that it can feel like all you do is reacting to what people are asking, and you're putting down fires and you're delivering tiny iterations instead of documenting things that you still need and that are still unclear or that are just completely undocumented. So this is the work that we know needs to be done, but no one is really asking for. And my advice here is very basic, it's very simple, but it's the only way that you can start getting things done without making the train stop. You can start slow and you continue to move slow, make time to improve just a little bit at a time. So you carve bits of time in your planning to move those things that no one is asking for forward and to get them done. And to write. And then when you get to those times, you just have to write. You can pick a format that works for you. It can be something super simple. So in our case, we decided to structure our documentation with, you have first the living example, and then you have usage, anatomy, developer guidance, and API information. And usage is in the format of do's and don'ts. There's lots and lots of lists. Sometimes there's a little GIF or a little video clarifying something, but always with a caption underneath. And every sprint, I try to close at least a couple of components. And it can be deceptively simple to write something as short as this. In my case, I need to check a few different internal guidelines to make sure I'm saying things that are right. And I also check comments that may have put in existing Figma files, comments in our chats, comments in maybe GitHub issues that we have. And I also read documentation from other design systems to see what they've mentioned about that particular pattern or component, to see if there's anything that I didn't consider or that no one has asked yet in my team. And then I try to make it as short as I can, as short as possible. And once it's out there, you're still probably going to have to continue to edit things because you're not going to think of everything and things change, but that's fine. At least you are moving that documentation needle along. So untruth three, everyone works together in harmony. And the truth is that we block each other all the time. And when I say everyone, I mean not just the design systems team and other teams blocking each other, but even people working together, like the designers and engineers within the design system team blocking each other. So in an ideal world, we'd be working closely together all the time. We would kickstart every component, every project, every naming thing together. We would brainstorm and we would discuss best ways to do things and to combine all of our knowledge. But sometimes we just have to get on with work. People want to finish something maybe without being interrupted, and things then aren't double-checked, and things may be defined and eventually shipped that may not be ideal, that may have bugs, that may not consider different scenarios. It may be a design that doesn't consider the existing API or that doesn't consider how to deal with a breaking change in a component. It may be code that introduces names that don't follow agreed conventions or that wasn't reviewed by design and doesn't match existing styles or introduces new things. But also, no one's going to like standards that are rushed. Creating standards is a slow process. You can ask the W3C or the British Standards Institute about that. When you define a standard, it's going to be reused over and over. you're going to need to maintain it maybe even forever. Anything new is adding to the complexity of the entire system, and it needs to be flexible enough to fit different scenarios, but also specific enough to be useful. And that's not something that you can just decide in a 30-minute meeting when you're thinking about the next meeting. Just like when you add a feature to a product, it's now there forever. It needs to be maintained. It needs to be improved. It needs to be documented. It needs to be supported. So I'm a believer that design systems should not be blocking people from delivering work, that we should have defined processes to accept custom patterns that are not yet part of the system and that are maybe in certain states of, like, maybe an alpha, or you call them experimentations or labs, a section of the system that is very experimental, and those components are at the risk of being discontinued if they can't prove that they are needed. And obviously, this is not possible for everyone. Sometimes everything really needs to be defined and be supplied by the system. But if you can, this is the easier way to do things. You need to set expectations and be comfortable about the design system feeling slower than feature teams. You need to think about how you're not going to be a blocker, but at the same time, that you can maintain a level of quality for the system that involves a lot of exploration and testing and discussion and trying different ideas and being able to have lots of revisions and reviews until a new element that you introduce is really robust. I can tell you that having the conversation that we need to slow down doesn't go down well. And it doesn't go down well every time that you have to have the conversation with engineers, with PMs, with designers. But that's going to happen, and you shouldn't really lie about it. So tell people to expect new things to come slower to the system, but to show them how at the same time you're not going to be a blocker, and be prepared to repeat that same conversation multiple times a week. So untruth number four, no one ever needs custom components. Sorry, I need my water. I'm scared of having another cough. And the truth is, someone needs a custom component every day. So something that has taken me a long time to learn to do, and I'm still learning, is to say no. The ability to say no without worrying that other people are not going to like you, and letting go of that need for approval, can really improve your mental health and your ability to look after yourself. And it's a little bit of the same for your design system. This is related to my previous point, the need for the design system to move slower than the teams that are delivering features, the teams that are trying to ship things as fast as possible. And again, even with a waterproof contribution process, new request process, it's normal for people that use the system to not see how they can deliver and finish what they need to finish with the existing set of guidelines and the existing set of components. I've seen this happen in every team that I've worked in. Designers and other colleagues asking for custom components, and they're absolutely sure that that custom component is the solution for whatever scenario they're trying to finish. And I think there's usually one of two ways to answer this when they ask for it. And obviously what you do depends on your specific circumstances. But one, you really need to create the component. Maybe there's other people that are asking for the same thing or something very similar, and it's your job as working for the design system to create those connections between what may look like different needs that can be solved with a single thing. And the other option, the other answer, is that it's too soon for you to consider adding this component to the system. And when I'm saying component, it can be a pattern, it can be a guideline, it can be a new set of tokens. It's too soon because they're working on something new. They are experimenting, and there's not enough yet to prove the need for a shared solution for that problem. In my mind, I would love if no one ever asked for a new component, unless they are absolutely sure that it's something that can be shared. They explored all the possibilities using existing components, and it's 100% certain that there is nothing that exists that will do the job. So everyone, I picture that everyone, when they're designing new things, they would have the component process printed and on the wall next to their screens, and they would always be making sure that they're following all the exact steps. But just because I love to create those diagrams and I love a really tidy, neat process, it doesn't mean that everyone else is just going to fall into those neat little boxes and follow the prescribed stages and fit into every single step. And again, this is why it's important, as I said before, that you have a solution for when the system can't meet the different teams where they need it without blocking other teams. So I see the relationship between a design system and the product, or between the systems team and other teams, as a push and pull. If the teams that are using the system never try to break the guidelines and do something new and create new styles or slightly tweak existing styles, never invented anything new, and our product looked exactly the same today and in 5 years, that wouldn't be good. It means that we would be stale, we wouldn't be evolving, we wouldn't be trying to find new ways to do things and to make our customers happy and our users happy, and probably our jobs would also be a little bit more boring. But at the same time, if every single request and change is accepted by the system, you can imagine the mess that you'd be in very quickly. Users couldn't trust that the system would be stable with no breaking changes. The team that maintains the components and fixes bugs would soon be overwhelmed with work. There would be less time to review things properly and to fix things and to document things. That's why it's a push and pull. What I explain to people that I work with is, I want you to try to break the system, to think outside the box, to come up with new things, but also expect us to be quite conservative in how we let things change, because we're not only thinking about this particular case, but we're thinking about how moving this pillar in the building, if it's a building, can affect the whole building. So there's two things to bear in mind when it comes to custom components or new component requests, and two things that you need to balance. One, if all you do is accept all the proposals and requests that come your way, I wouldn't think that you're doing a great job of maintaining a solid foundation and a robust system. If you're doing that just to save yourself from some awkward conversations where you have to ask people to wait and say no sometimes, I understand, but you're going to end up with an impossible workload and the quality of what you're doing is going to suffer. Just because people are asking for custom things doesn't mean that you're doing a bad job at creating components and writing guidelines. It's totally normal for that to happen, and that's how the system evolves, that push and pull. The other thing that you need to balance is that if every time someone comes to you for help, you just tell them to use something that's already there and you say no to every single request for change, then they're going to stop coming to you. And they will just think the system is inflexible and doesn't listen to their needs. And you don't want that to happen, because that's a very important way of how the system is going to keep evolving. You don't just solve this issue and then no one ever asks for anything new ever again, but you keep reinforcing that quality is important and that each new request needs to be considered in the context of the system, and you also let people experiment without breaking everything that's already been defined and included. Untruth number five, we validate everything. The truth is that most times we push to the system without testing, and that's bad. It's hard enough to have time to iterate on component design and get an implementation code to a good standard, having multiple reviews and that back and forth. If on top of that, you're also putting things in front of real users and testing those solutions using new components, then well done. So once again, this goes back to the design system being slow to introduce new patterns and new things. you are already asking people to wait for a few different things to happen. First, you need to have time to work on something that has been requested. You need to find that time. Second, you need to be able to have time to get feedback and have critiques and have reviews. Third, based on that, you're going to iterate and you may go through that cycle a few times. And then fourth, you have to build the thing. Obviously, maybe you built it before. It doesn't have to be in this order, but you have to build it at some point and test it. And five, you also have to document it. And now you also want to test it with users. So one thing to consider when you're trying to find time and space to test your system is that it doesn't have to be a specific set of people in a design systems team to do design system work. You don't have time to do everything. And also, you build a more solid system if the people that are participating and contributing know about what's happening across the product and across the company and can bring that knowledge to the table. You don't just want people that think and dream in systems to participate. That would probably give you a pretty boring system. So think of ways that you can delegate and get other people to help. It can be by doing research across the company about how people are using a certain component or designing certain flows. And then you get back together with them and review their findings and decide together next steps. Or it can be, for instance, study how updating an existing component is going to fit with existing screens, which can be sometimes time-consuming work, but can also easily be delegated. If you don't start entrusting other people to work on the system this way and want to do everything yourself, including testing, you're going to be a massive blocker. And everyone is going to hate you. So standards are not created by a couple of people locked in a room. Openness and transparency, sharing work in progress, just like any other designer would do, and they would let people critique, is their work is really important. And if you're used to doing that, taking that extra step of including components in rounds of testing will come more naturally because you're super used to what you propose being questioned, and that's fine. Obviously, just to note, I'm making a huge assumption here that you already do regular user testing. I'm not questioning that. If you don't, that's another story. So how can you make this a truth instead of an untruth? You can include, let's say, a rule or a guideline in your process that a component is not 100% valid or validated until it's been included in a test without having negative user feedback. So if someone, let's say, is testing a signup flow and you have just created new form components, and then people that are the users understand what they are and understand how to use them, even though maybe they don't understand the microcopy in the form, then you could say that it's a valid component. And you can have this, you can have a label in your documentation saying that this needs testing or this is in beta or something like that. You can also ask people that are in charge of testing or that have testing coming soon if they can include, or like having regular catch-ups with them to make sure that you always include new system elements, components into the tests. And it's not always possible, but making this into a habit, something that you do regularly, is gonna give you a stronger system. And it's also gonna make it a lot easier to have conversations when people don't want to use existing components, because then you have something to back up your decisions. And another way to test components and documentation is by working closely with the teams that are trying to use and implement the components and observe their pain and feel their pain and see where documentation can be improved. So in this case, you're not testing with the end user of the product, but you are testing with the user of the system. And that is equally important to test. And we don't really talk about that enough, about that user, and that could be another talk, I guess. So I've told you the most common pieces of fiction that I have implied or that I have suggested or hinted at or that I see in design systems. I pick these five not just because they're very common for other people, but also because they're probably the top five things that I may have accidentally told or at least let people believe of the work that I've done. We're all struggling with all of these things and obviously with other things. Every time that a new design system site is launched or is updated and you go and you check it out and it's better and better and you can't even seem to have time to document your buttons. You're not a failure. It's totally normal. We're all doing that because behind those beautiful fronts, we're all scrambling. We're making things up. We're playing it by ear, going with the flow, putting down fires instead of maybe planting new trees. So thank you.